make sure as we get ready to move into our building, and this has been my heart and my cry, and you're going to hear me say more and more as we get closer to moving into our facility. Our building is going to be a lighthouse in Salida, but you know what the light is? It's just the house. We're the light. And so what I'm trying to share with you over the next few weeks is, you know, what kind of light are we going to be? And so I talked about God has called us to be a certain kind of light. God has called us to be a certain kind of people. He's called us to be Christians. He's called us to be like Him. And so we've been kind of looking at that, and we've been looking at this kaleo, which means God's called us out. And so last week, we kind of went through generosity, and we talked about service, and we did these various aspects God called us to be. And this morning, I want to call to be a disciple, that God has called us to be a disciple. And what does that mean, and what does it talk about? And because I want to make sure we are called. Look at the scripture here. The scripture talks about us being called. Look what it says here. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Anybody recognize that verse? Anybody? We have a name for that verse. It's called the... Anybody? The great what? The great commandment. Man, are you guys with me today? This is going to be a participatory message this morning, so you might as well get used to it. But it's called the great commandment. Now, when I was in school, I'll give you, anybody here, who likes English, the study of English? I got a few hands out there. Some of you know me, you know spelling is not one of my gifts. Grammar, I'm no grammarian. And when I was taking Greek, we had to outline this. And just so you kind of get a picture, there's only one verb. If you look at that sentence there, and that there's two, but the big sentence there, there's only one verb. If you look at that, go therefore and make disciples. Disciples is the only verb. Go, and here's your English people, go is a participle. Anybody know what a participle is? I don't know. You know? We're supposed to go and make disciples. That go is, I gave you a little definition here. Why don't you look at your paper there and see what it says. It says go. The verb means go, to travel, to journey. It could be translated as you go. Here's what I want to drive in this morning. Here's what I want us to think about this morning. I want you to think about as you are living your life, as you're going about your daily activities, as you're going about your busy lifestyle, there's a certain way you're to live. There's something you're to do as you do that. And what we are to do is we are to make disciples. Now, what's a disciple? Here's the definition of a disciple. A learner, a pupil, a follower, be a committed student. I've had several conversations with individuals over time that there's a difference between being a Christian and being a disciple. Here's what I want to propose to you this morning, and I'm going to preach a whole series of messages after this one, that you can be a Christian and not be a disciple. Now, that doesn't make you a very good Christian. But to be a disciple is you are a follower, you are a pupil, you are a learner. And that's what I want to challenge us to do. As you go, you are learning, but not only are you supposed to learn, you're supposed to disciple others. Because it says this is the church's job, right? See, most people think this. Most people think, maybe you're here this morning, I hope this isn't your thinking. All right. You got up early this morning, you dressed up, you got your hair all combed, you got all set up to go to church this morning. You come to church, you sit there, you sing a few songs, or you watch them sing some songs, you know. You watch some good-looking, handsome guys share some words of God with you. And then you go, where is he? He's right here, all right. And then you go home and you said, I did church. I'm a Christian. I want to say, no. All right? Being a Christian and being a disciple of God is more than just coming to church and warming a metal chair. All right? It's not bringing your kids and dropping your kids off. You know, it's not showing up once a week and say, I've done my duty. It's being a disciple, a learner, a grower in Christ. And then when you're a disciple, you are to disciple others because you're the church. When this little verse right there, that great commandment, it's to the church, but who's the church? It's not the preacher, at least he's part of it, but it's not just him. It's not just the worship team that stands here and sings, or the ones running the system, or Ertie back there passing out bulletins, or somebody ministering to the children. The church is us as believers, as Christians, and we're supposed to make disciples. See, here's what I want to challenge you with. I want to challenge you to live your life in a certain lifestyle that when others see you, they want to join you in following God. That's the challenge. That's who we are. But see, here's the problem. Most of us, and I put these two misconceptions down here, because most of us, when I say, you need to go and disciple somebody, you need to go and tell others about Jesus, you need to go and be a Christian in front of the world, it's like, I don't know. I'm not ready for that. And that's why I want you to look at your first little point there. There's two misconceptions, and the first one is, I'm not ready to disciple anyone. I'm not ready to tell anyone about Jesus. I'm not ready to walk with somebody through life. I'm not ready to share my life with others. I want to challenge you to be a disciple. Now, a disciple's a learner. A disciple's a pupil. A disciple is a follower of God. So here's what I want us to challenge, what I want you to think about this morning. I want you to think about, am I a disciple? Am I living a life that shows others Jesus? And most of you are going to say no. At least if you ask me, it's like, I'm not there yet. Don't imitate Gary as Gary drives the car, all right? You know, don't imitate Gary as, but we are to be imitated. We are to be disciplers. So here's what I want to ask you this morning. I want to ask you, and I'm going to get you to participate, all right? You're kind of sitting there this morning. Get off your hands. You're going to need your hands free. You know, we're Baptist, but we're going to raise our arms today, okay? You know, because I want to ask you some questions here this morning. Because if you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, I'm not ready to tell somebody about Jesus. I'm not ready to, as I grow through life, as I go to the shopping store, as I go to the bank, as I go to the mall, as I go to work, as I go to my home and raise my children, as I go about my life, I'm not ready to disciple someone, to help someone learn about God, to help someone mature in their life. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to ask you some questions this morning. And I'm going to ask you, if this is you, would you raise your hand? All right? So you're going to have to participate. And if you don't, I'm going to go real slow. So we'll be here a long time. And I got places to go today. All right? I got to go to Portland today. All right? So help me out here. I want you to understand that you're ready. I want you to get a picture that you can do this. I want you to get an image in your mind that you can share and you can be a part of what God does in somebody's life. Now, some of you here this morning are married. Anybody here married? Anybody? All right, I got some. Okay, you guys are getting used to it. All right, we got some hands going up. Now, if you're married this morning, maybe you don't have a perfect marriage, all right? Like mine. My wife's better at it than I am, okay? I got cupcakes this morning. It was on TV and everything because of my wife. She's just better at it than I am, all right? But maybe your marriage isn't perfect. Maybe it's not all that you dream it can be. But you know what? You're striving. You're walking with God. You've been over some humps in your marriage. You know, you've settled some issues in your life. You've worked through some difficult times in your marriage. And you know what? Because of that, you know what? You can help somebody else. Because, you know, you've had some experiences. And maybe you see somebody going down a path that maybe you went down. Or maybe you see a marriage moving in a certain way. And you can help them. Is anybody here like that? Anybody here? You know, your marriage isn't perfect, but you know what? I've overcome some issues. And you know what? I have some experiences that I could share. Anybody have something like that in their lives? That's a discipler. That's a discipler. You know? And I want you to get a picture. Maybe you're a high school student. Maybe you're a college student. And maybe you go to school and you got all these friends around you. And anybody here a college student? Anybody here go to high school? Anybody? I see a few hands. Come on. Some of you guys got to bring your hands. All right. You're in that little age grade there, and you know, you're going to school, and you're the Christian. You got friends that are wrestling with decisions in their life. There's all sorts of things that get you in trouble when you're in high school nowadays, a lot more than it was when I was there, and it was enough when I was there. You know, and a lot of things at college that can draw you away from God, but maybe you solve some issues, and maybe you got some values that really mean something to you, and some principles in your life that you're living out. And some of your friends are asking you about, hey, we're going to go to a party this weekend, or hey, we're going to do this weekend, and you get a chance to say something. No, you're not perfect, but you're a college student and you love God and you're going to serve God. Can anybody in that boat that you can be that Christian witness to some of your college friends? Anybody? I'm going to make somebody raise their hand. I mean, we don't have any Christian college students here. All right, I see some hands now. All right. High school students, come on now. We can do this together and we can do this. You know, anybody here have a job? Anybody here work? Anybody? Oh, boy, I see a lot of hands going up with work. Yeah. You got a job, and you're that Christian guy, and you're sitting there, or that Christian woman, and you're sitting there during lunch, or you're sitting there during a conversation, and they're asking you some questions, and they're wondering about how you deal with stress, or how you deal with this issue, and maybe they're struggling about their marriage, or maybe they're talking about something in their home, or maybe they're talking about a situation at work, or the boss. And you're sitting there, and you've been working, and you got some experiences. And you got some values, and you got some principles that how you deal with that, and that you can be a witness to them. Anybody here like that, I can be that Christian witness in this workplace. You know, my friends ask me about God's principles. You know, and maybe you can do that, or maybe you can live like that. Maybe you're a stay-at-home mom. Anybody here a stay-at-home mom? Anybody? I see a few stay-at-home moms. Anybody got grandkids? Anybody? All right, got some grandkids out here. All right. You know what? As we've gone through our life, and as we've grew up in our lives, and as we've mowed through life, we've learned some things in life. We've had some experiences in life. How many of us want to see our kids make the same mistake we did? Anybody? I don't want to see my kids make the same mistakes I did. Anybody want to be? How about your grandkids? Is there any way that we can be a discipler of our grandkids, a discipler of our kids? Can anybody do that one? Anybody? All right, I see some hands for that one. All right. Yeah. How about finances? Anybody here struggle with finances? You know, I mean, my finances aren't perfect, all right? I want to be debt-free and, you know, all that. But, you know, I'm not perfect, but I've solved some issues, all right? I am debt-free and I don't have, the only thing I owe is my house, and that's all I want to ever owe on, and I'm trying to save to buy a car, and I got these things. And anybody have some financial things that maybe you've had some experiences that you can help somebody walk through, that you can help some of this people get through? Anybody have some financial experiences that you can use to share with others? See, I want to make sure you sit here and you say, I'm not ready to disciple anyone, and almost everyone here, you've raised your hand on something. Now, I'm going to get this one now. This one's a little harder because I don't want to talk about old people. I'm going to say some of us, some of you who are mature, all right? Some of you who are on the mature end of life, and you had some experiences, and you've seen life go by, and you've seen those things go by. You know, you have some knowledge, and you have some experience that we got some young families, we got some young teenagers here that can benefit from that. Is that true? I want to tell you something else. If you're a teenager, or you're a high school student, or you're a college, anybody here? Again, I'm going to ask you. If you're in your 20s, raise your hand. Anybody in their 20s? All right, we got some 20-year-olds here. Anybody in their teens? All right, I see some teens here. Let me tell you something. You need to know something. You might not have had all the life experiences as some of us other ones have had, but I'm going to tell you something. There are little children watching you. They will listen to you before they listen to me because I'm an old man. Am I right? Somebody said amen. Cut that out. Am I right now? Am I right? Who are the kids listening to? They want to see a 20-year-old. You guys are the cool ones. I'm just an old fuddy-duddy. See, I want to make sure, can you be a discipler? Do you get the picture? As you go through life, you know, we look at this discipler as, well, I don't have all this Bible knowledge. I'm not brilliant with the Bible. I get nervous when I pray out loud. You know what's amazing to me? I tell you one of the exciting things for me, and I'm not going to pick on people, but you guys, some of you guys know who you are. Some of you guys who've stood up here during the offering and prayed for the first time. How nerve-wracking that is. Anybody know? Anybody? Anybody? You know, you're nerve-wracking that first time you get up here and pray. And I've shared with you, write it down. You can read it. It's okay. And now you don't have a problem doing it. See, how do we share these life experiences? It's nerve-wracking. No, I don't know everything. And no, my marriage isn't perfect. And no, my finances aren't perfect. And no, I do make mistakes. And yes, I still struggle in these other areas. But you know what? I can help somebody else so they don't make the same mistakes I've made. See, I want to make sure you get a picture. You can be a discipler. You are called to make disciples. As you go through life, make disciples. As you live your life, we can make disciples. It starts in our home, and I mean, you know, you're at the bank, you're at the store buying groceries, wherever you're at. That there's things you can do and things you can say to make disciples. You're ready. You're ready to be a discipler. You know, it starts with sharing who Jesus is, and then you bring them along. But there's another misconception. Look at this other misconception here. I don't need someone to disciple me. I don't need anybody telling me what to do. I don't need anybody explaining anything to me. I don't need anybody. I'm too proud. I don't. Maybe it's pride. Maybe you don't see the benefit of it. Maybe you don't understand why should I. I don't know, but for some reason you just feel like I don't need it. Let me give you a picture here. Anybody watch the Super Bowl last week? Anybody watch the Super Bowl? Oh, boy, yeah, that I got a lot of hands on that one. Watch the Super Bowl. We watch all these players out here. And then we watch, you know, these little kids out here play. We don't, you know, we're here on Sunday. Some of them are out there playing football. You ever notice something as, you know, maybe soccer? You know, the kids start, a six-year-old starts playing soccer. They got one coach. Or peewee football. You know, you get a coach out there, and he's getting all the kids together, and they're playing football. But you watch football now, and how many coaches does a football team have? You ever wonder that? They got a head coach, and then they got a quarterback coach, and they have a linebacker coach, and they have back coaches, and they got all these coaches, because the more you go along the line, the more specialty you need, the more special knowledge you need. A quarterback needs different knowledge than a linebacker needs. And what I want to tell you is we need someone to disciple us. Because, you know, there's some things I still got to learn as a man that only men can teach us. You know what, and there's things that women can teach one another that you know, you come here and you sit here and you listen to me as a pastor. I speak from a man's point of view. That doesn't sound... Sometimes it's women going, what in the world that crazy guy's saying? He doesn't understand. Yeah. Because I don't understand certain things about women. Anybody understand women here? Nobody raising their hand on that one. Yeah. Oh, I see a woman understands a woman. I got there. There you go. They got it all figured out. You know, we wrestle with it. Sometimes we need some special training. Sometimes we need somebody who's walked through these experiences in our lives. Men have certain battles. Women have different battles. And so, you know, I don't need someone. You know, we need special training sometimes. So I want to challenge you this morning. Can you be a discipler? Maybe you haven't conquered all of life, but you've conquered some things. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's, you know, I'm a parent, and I've raised my kids. And, you know, I've made some mistakes parenting. I tell my kids that, and I've asked my kids, and I've shared with them. I'm going to tell you, you know what? I don't know why. It's a lot easier with grandkids than it is with kids. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Grandkids are so much easier. You can just spoil them and send them home. They're parents' problem. But you look back and you worry about those kind of things and you wrestle with those kind of things. But I'm a discipler. I'm a discipler. And I want to challenge us. So I'm going to give you two things you can do. This is what I'm going to drive at this one. I'm going to give you two things you can do. I want you to do these two things in your life so that you can help others become like Christ. Because that's really what it's about. If you got your little outline out there, be an example. See, by your example, you help others become like Christ. Now, this became an eye-opening experience to me because I share with you one of my battles. You know, there's a lot of battles I've conquered. You know, I really don't struggle with saying bad words anymore. That's not, that doesn't come out of my mouth very, very infrequently. I say words that I shouldn't say. But when you get me behind the steering wheel of a car, you know, I don't have bad words, but I had this word. I had this NPBE, okay? Nose picker booger eater. All right? And so I would say that. I would be driving down the road, and I'd say some guy is an NPBE, you know, because of their lack of driving skills. You know, I realized, you need to know what I did. After a while, I realized what that issue was. That issue is pride. I'm more pride about my driving skills. That's so you know that's my sin. It's a sin of pride there. I finally identified that. But I would say that. You know, then it became an eye-opening experience when all of a sudden I hear my kids say that. That sit in the back of the car. One time I used to say, that stupid driver. I quit that one because driving down the road, Jeremiah one time in his car seat back there, some guy did something, and I didn't say anything, but he knew the guy did something. Jeremiah goes, stupid, 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 stupid. He was doing what? He was following my example. We need to pay attention to that example. Our example is there. They see it. The kids, our family, our children, our grandchildren, they see that example. Look at what Paul says. Paul says this really well. By your example, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Paul is saying we need to watch one another, observe one another, and follow those examples. Paul says, you can follow me. Now, how can Paul say that? And as a pastor, how do I say that? I battle with that. Am I always a good example? Some of you guys know me. You're going to go, no. But as I try to get closer to God, as I try to walk closer to God, no, I'm not perfect. But can somebody walk along with me and learn from me by my example? By your example as a parent, by your example in your finances, by your example in your values, by your example, you can be a discipler. Children, others are watching. Look at this next scripture. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And just in case you didn't get it, I put the word follow down here so you get it. An imitator, a follower, imitate. Imitate me. Now, I have a hard time saying that because I'm not perfect. Is anybody here perfect? Nobody raised their hand on that one. Oh, I see a couple of hands go up. Yeah. But we all have different battles. But our challenge is where my weakness is, maybe your strength, and I can learn from you. And maybe where I'm strong, you're weak, and we can learn from one another. See, I want to challenge us to get closer to God, to follow closer. And as I get closer, we can all get closer together. See, our example, you know what I want? I want my kids seeing me read the Bible. I want my grandkids seeing me open the Word of God. I want my kids seeing me praying. I want my kids to see me in Bible study during the week. I want my grandkids You know, I'm going to tell you, you know what's exciting to me, and this is exciting to me, to get my grandkids in the car and to drive by the school, and they call this the church. That's exciting to me. I remember when we used to meet in the old blue church, and we had the church, we were meeting in the school cafeteria in our church, and one time I'm walking there with my kid. I'm trying to remember if it was one of my kids. I think it was one of the kids. It might have been my grandkid. I don't remember. It might have been Austin. And we're walking to go into the blue church, and I said, let's go to church. So he walked me. We were walking down the sidewalk, and he stops at the gate of the school. And it's like, no, 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 no. And I had to explain to him, that's church on Sunday. Our church is around the corner over here. You know, I get excited when I get in my daughter's car, both of them. I'm going to take a load to the dump for our building, and I get in that car, and the radio's turned on, and it's a Christian radio station. See, I get excited about things like that, that my kids, my grandkids get in the car and they want to turn the radio in the car to the Christian radio station. See, that's the stuff that excites me. Can we set examples that they see, that they hear, that character, our choices, our values? See, we're disciplers. Not only am I a disciple, not only am I learning, not only am I following, but there are other people watching me. I remember I was playing soccer, I was trying to play soccer. And again, I watch my words, so I don't say bad words. I have a couple of words, and some of you, I know, you know, they're not bad, but, you know, it's, you know, a lollipop, we call them suckers sometimes. You know, that's one of my words, and that. But when I'm out there playing soccer, people are listening to the words I use, just in case I use the wrong words. On a soccer, as I was going, it wasn't in church on Sunday. It was on the middle of a soccer field. They were watching the words I chose. See, we need to wrestle with these things in our life and realize we are disciplers. That the world is watching us and they're looking at us. And as I get closer to God, not because I'm there, that's why I preached that series last time called Messy Church, because we're all a mess. You know, we all have different battles and different struggles, but we can help one another along the path in our weaknesses and our strengths. You know, and I worry about this as a pastor, being here so long. Like I said, it's fun growing up in the church and staying so long. You know, I remember Linda's up here now. When I came, Linda was 6 years old. What kind of example have I been? You know, that's a long time. No, it's not that long. Just a few years. You're not that old, are you, Linda? No, see, Linda says she's not that old, so we're all right. We're all right. But I think about that example. Not only the example I've set, but what about the future? What about the future? You know, those guardrails in my life and those things that I have to look at. See, I want to challenge you. You are a discipler. Whether you want to admit it or not, the world is watching you. Your kids, your grandkids, your family, your friends, they're watching. Will you be an example to them? There's another thing you can do and you need to do as you live your life. Look at this right here. With your words. With your words. You disciple others by your words. And I'm not saying by the absence of bad words, all right? Being a discipler is not simply being absent of bad words. I didn't say any bad words. What about the words we do choose to use? What about the words that we do speak? Do they build others up? Look at what the scripture says. But commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead this people across and will cause them to inherit the land that you will see. This is God talking to Moses. Joshua is going to take Moses' place. Joshua is the next leader. And he tells Moses, Moses, encourage him, strengthen him. I want to ask you, do you have encouraging words for others? Do you have words that strengthen others? Do you have words that build others up? See, that's one of our challenges. Yeah. Do we help people become who they can be and who the opportunities they have to become? Do we have those kind and and encouraging words to build somebody up. This is a challenge. You know, it's real easy to be critical, isn't it? Isn't it easy to point out all the flaws and all the mistakes? And you know, but we need to have encouraging words. We need to have words that build up. And I just want to challenge us in this area. You know what's interesting to me? As you read God's word, you find some characters and some individuals in the scripture that are really inspiring. There's a guy named Elijah. And he's training just like Moses was doing this with Joshua. There's a guy coming along behind him called Elijah. You can get him, I get him confused, you know, Elijah and Elijah. You can get him confused if you're not careful. And Elijah was living this lifestyle, and he was following God, and he was a great man of God, a great prophet. When you read about him, he was really a great prophet of God. And he's training Elijah. You know what Elijah's prayer was? God, let me have a double portion of what you've given this man. God, this man has been a great example for me. He's following you, God, and I want to be like him. And Elijah was encouraging and building him up. There's another example. There's these two women in the Bible, a mother and a daughter-in-law, Naomi and Ruth. Naomi and Ruth. Naomi had lost her husband. Ruth had lost her husband, the son of Naomi. And so it's time to kind of like we need to work this situation out. And so Naomi says, Ruth, why don't you just go on back to your family? You don't have to stay with me. Why don't you go back to your family? And Ruth goes, no. I'm going to be with you. Where you go, I will go, and your God will be my God. We have this relationship, this example. Yeah. Then you come in as you read the New Testament, and you find two guys in the New Testament. One is wrote most of the New Testament, a guy named Paul. Anybody know the guy named Paul in the Bible? He wrote most of the New Testament. And Paul took a guy under his arm named Timothy. And he brought Timothy along, and he encouraged Timothy, and he walked with Timothy. You can read the letters, 1st and 2nd Timothy. You can watch him talk about Timothy in the book of Acts. And he encouraged him, and he inspired him. He talked about the faith that Timothy had was first seen in his grandmother, and then it was in his mother, and now it's in Timothy, and he was building Timothy up. See, I want to challenge you. Who are you building up? Who are you strengthening? See, I want you to get this picture here that your words and your example that you're setting out is being a discipler. And that we need to lead this next generation. We need our generation. And we need to walk with one another through these days and through these times as we go. Now, you know, we have great home groups, great Bible study groups. I have great time. I enjoy. I have a group on Monday. I go to one on Tuesday just for fun of it. I go to another one on Wednesday because I like to eat. We have good food. And I have great times in these groups. But I also have a group that meets on Monday. We've missed a few weeks here because of the building and all the stuff going on and just we're swamped with what's happening. But we sit around and we encourage one another and we journey together and we're walking with one another as we're going. We're just sitting there eating and talking. You know, whether it's on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, or on a Monday afternoon, we have these groups. But as we go, as you're a stay-home mom, as you're raising those kids, as you come home after work, as you're raising those kids, as you're running to the mall, as you're going shopping, as you're going to the bank, we're making disciples. We're making disciples of the future. And it may be just us. But I want to challenge us. And here's what I want you to think about this morning, as we wrap up this morning. Who's your Timothy? Who are you journeying life with through your words and your example to become more like Christ as you do the same? And then I want to challenge you, who's your Paul? You know, I'm a pastor. Do I need a Paul? Yes. I have a friend of mine that we meet once a month. He's changed jobs and we've missed the last month, but we're going to get back together. We've talked. We're going to get back together. But I meet with him. We met Wednesday. Once a month, we'd sit around and just kind of share our journeys and talk about our lives and journey together. Because I need somebody who can be my Paul, who can share from their life. And just as we go, so I want to challenge you this morning. Who's your Timothy? Who's your Paul? Is it your children? Is it a neighbor? Is it a coworker? Is it a business partner? Is it a brother, a sister, a mother, a father, an aunt, an uncle? Who's your Timothy? And I want to challenge you with who's your Paul? Who are you walking with life from and learning from? Experiencing life with? None of us have it down packed. I'm not there. I battle. I don't know about you, but I wrestle with things. But who's your Paul? At the bottom of your page, I put it this way. I'm a disciple making disciples. Are you? I'm a disciple making disciples. You all raised your hand as I went through this. Some of you, marriages, some of it's finances, some of it's kids, some of it's high school, some of it's college. I want to challenge you. You know, we're going to move into our new building. We're the light. We're the light. They're going to see a building. You know, you need to know something. I think the building's going to draw people in because it's new and it's exciting and it's a building. But if we're not making disciples, we failed. We've got a building. That's all we got. I want to challenge us to make disciples. Is there a neighbor? Is there a friend? Is there a coworker? Is there a fellow student at school, high school, or college? Is there a mother or a father in your life? A brother or a sister? I don't know. Who's your Timothy? Who's your Paul? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths that we're called to be disciples. We're called to learn and to grow and to mature. In the midst of that call, Lord, not only are we called to be disciples, we're called to be disciplers. To strengthen and encourage others. To set an example. Lord, help us be your people today. You know, as we're praying, you know, one of the hardest things, just heads bowed, eyes closed, one of the hardest things in life is to ask somebody to be your Paul. To have the courage to say, you know what? Can you walk with me for a while? Just as we go through life, can you walk with me for a while? If you're here this morning and you want a Paul, and maybe you don't have one and you want a Paul, I want to pray for you that God would give you someone to be your Paul. Would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? Thank you. Thank you. I see them. Anyone else? Thank you. Lord, I lift these up who desire someone to walk with them, to encourage and strengthen them. Lord, give them the courage to ask someone or prepare someone to ask them that they can walk with, Lord, and learn together through words and through examples. You know, as I'm praying, maybe you're here this morning and you don't have a Timothy. Not that you're perfect, not that you've made it all the way through and you can say, you know what, I am a good Christian, because Jesus said nobody's good anyway, so it doesn't matter. Maybe you want to be a Paul. If you want to be a Paul, would you raise your hand? Yeah, I see him. I see him. Anyone else? I see it. Lord, for these who desire to fulfill your command to go and make disciples, Lord, lay someone upon their heart. Guide them, direct them, Lord. Encourage and strengthen them, Lord. Guard their lives, Lord. Not that we're perfect, not that we've made it, not that we've accomplished all that we need to accomplish. Not that we can say we are good Christians, because there is no one good. You said so yourself. But Lord, we want to give our lives to you that we can help others become like you. Lord, guide them, direct them, inspire them. Lay someone upon their heart. Bring someone to them that asks them to be their Paul, that we may be your people in today's world. This is your day. We're here to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. I thank you.